Numbers 9:15. Numbers 9:15 through 23, and I'm reading from the NRSV. On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant, and from evening until morning it was over the tabernacle, having the appearance of fire. It was always so, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, then the Israelites would set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the Israelites would camp. At the command of the Lord, the Israelites would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they would remain in the camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the Israelites would keep the charge of the Lord and would not set out. Sometimes the cloud would remain a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they would remain in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud would remain from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they would set out. Or if they continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, resting upon it, the Israelites would remain in camp and would not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the command of the Lord, they would camp. At the command of the Lord, they would set out. They kept the charge of the Lord and the command of the Lord by Moses. Hang with me. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. You maybe remember these lyrics. They're from a classic song called Stuck in the Middle with You, written and performed by Steeler's Wheel. I can't be the only one in here who had never heard of that group, but I know I've heard those lyrics before. But it's about the story of a night at a record industry party. Or perhaps for our younger crowd, you know the lyrics from a song that came out earlier this year. And if it doesn't resonate, like if you don't remember it, like picture my voice with like an auto tuner. Okay, that'll help. Oh baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle, baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. If you don't recognize it, again, just imagine my voice with an auto tune. And I wish I was exaggerating on the lyrics, but when you say them out loud, that is, I hope I didn't ruin the fun song for anybody, but that really is what the lyrics of the chorus are. And it is repeated in the song over and over again. You learn that and you got the whole song. We have a lot of thoughts in our culture about the middle. We have TV shows about the middle. We have Malcolm in the Middle, the show entitled The Middle, and a more current TV show, Stuck in the Middle, a current Disney Channel favorite. And we can't talk about television and the word middle without remembering our favorite middle child, the one who has become synonymous with the phrase middle child, Jan Brady. Poor Jan. Marsha. Actually, an article just this week was published in the New York Magazine, you may have seen it, called The Extinction of the Middle Child. And in case all of you middle children are worried that we're coming after you, it was actually saying that there are less middle children now. And it was talking about what we're losing in our society as families get smaller and we don't have middle children. What are we going to lose as a whole culture, as a part of them? So we're not coming for you, middle children. There's a lot of other good things about the middle other than middle children. There's Oreos, especially mega stuffed Oreos. A BLT. I mean, the bread doesn't even make it into the initials of that sandwich. It's not even in the name. It's just the good stuff in the middle. And who can forget, though I know I'm aging myself just a little bit here, the commercials asking how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? dropping in to do a sermon like this. Just one in the grand, kids, have your parents show you the video at lunch. Sometimes it can be a challenge. I get to do this a lot. I work for Virginia Baptist now, and so I get to be in a lot of different churches, kind of come in once or a few times in a row and get to preach a sermon. And when you're coming in the middle like this, in the middle of a summer, in the middle of the season that you're in, sometimes it can be a challenge to say you can just preach about whatever you want. So when you have the entirety of Scripture and all of the things that are filling our news cycle right now, it could be a little daunting, but as I kept praying and thinking about where you would be, where we would all be this morning, I kept thinking of the word middle. It's July 15th. We're kind of squarely in the middle of what we usually think about as summer. Those of you who have kids home from school, you're in that middle portion where the newness of summer has worn off, and maybe you're just a little tired of no structure or just seeing each other so darn much. We're in the middle of the month, July 15th. You're in the middle of an interim period, maybe not squarely in the middle of an interim period, but you're far enough in that the start of this can seem kind of like a distant memory. But you're also far enough from the finish line that you can't see it either. It can feel like there's no structure and maybe just a desire to get to that final destination of putting a pastor in place so you can feel like you can finally move forward. But there's a lot that happens in the middle. In the middle of a search process here, a lot of important work. My guess is that in some way you are finding yourself in your own middle place this morning. You may find yourself in the middle of taking care of aging parents while still taking care of your own children. You may find yourself in the middle of a career that doesn't seem to be working out quite like you thought. You're far from the start, but you're a long way from the salary or the promotion or the position or even just the authority to make the decisions that you want to make. Perhaps you're in middle school or in the middle of your teen years and you're not a kid, but you're not yet an adult. Just feeling like you're in the middle of everything. Not having arrived anywhere and not really sure where you want to arrive to. Maybe you're in the middle of your marriage, not at the beginning where you have all that giddiness that kind of drives you, but some days maybe not feeling close enough to the until death do us part portion of your vows. And in that middle, there's a lot of laundry, there's a lot of house cleaning, cooking, budgeting, conflict, and finding new ways to love each other. Maybe you're just in the middle of something hard. Maybe it's not so hard as it is just monotonous every day, and it just feels like the end is nowhere in sight. There's a lot of middles in Scripture, a lot of journeys, a lot of waiting, a lot of promises that take years and decades to be fulfilled. As I looked through the Scripture, the one middle that kept coming to me, one journey, one period of like length between where you start and where you finish, I just can't help but think of the Exodus story. Moses leading the Israelites through the desert. And as I looked through the Scriptures about the Israelites' journey, I stumbled upon our Scripture passage this morning. And let's just be honest. We were all thinking it when we were reading it earlier. This Scripture seems like it's one of the most mundane sounding passages in the whole story of the Israelites. This is coming after burning bushes. Bushes that don't really catch on fire, but are burning nonetheless. This is coming after plagues of water turning into blood, and gnats, frogs, locusts, and armies that drown in a sea that have just crossed through, following folks who've just crossed through water that literally came up on both sides like two walls. We have the shining face of Moses that's so powerful, it creeps out the Israelites. Every time he spends time alone with God, his face is shining and is so different that they ask him to cover it. There's manna, the food from heaven that falls out of the sky and appears for them each morning. They're the Israelites that are brandishing a golden calf, making a golden calf to worship. Because even after all of that, all that they've seen, all they've experienced, they begin to get restless and they want something tangible to worship. Even after all of that. And then we have this passage. And this, again, reads as one of the most boring passages of the whole story of the Israelites' journey, maybe other than all of the list of laws that you can also find in the book of Numbers. It's telling us how the Israelites moved when they knew it was time to stay. It reads, though, like someone is telling you how to get to the grocery store, how to unload your dishwasher. I want to read it in the Message version, and with all respect, I want you to see if it doesn't sound like a small kid. You remember, like, little kids when they're trying to tell you a story and they keep saying the same thing over and over again, like to say, they use the same words to say the exact same thing. See if it doesn't sound like that, because usually those kind of things are usually just like a story, like a mundane detail of their life. The day the dwelling was set up, the cloud covered the dwelling of the tent of testimony. From sunset until daybreak, it was over the dwelling. It looked like fire. It was there. It was like that all the time. The cloud over the dwelling and at night looking like fire. When the cloud lifted above the tent, the people of Israel marched out. And when the cloud descended, the people camped. The people of Israel marched at God's command, and they camped at his command. As long as the cloud was over the dwelling, they camped. Even when the cloud hovered up over the dwelling for many days, they honored God's command and wouldn't march. They stayed in camp, obedient to God's command, as long as the cloud was over the dwelling. But the moment God issued orders, they marched. If the cloud stayed only from sunset to daybreak and then lifted at daybreak, they marched. Night or day, it made no difference. When the cloud lifted, they marched. It made no difference whether the cloud covered over the dwelling for 2 days or a month or a year. As long as the cloud was there, they were there. And when the cloud went up, they got up and marched. They camped at God's command and they marched at God's command. They lived obediently by God's orders as delivered by Moses. And the truth is, though, that as mundane as it may sound, this is obviously like a really big deal. It's a huge cloud by day that appears like fire, but just over this one part of the camp. Like if Clayton just had it like over the fitness center, like a huge cloud over it by day that at night started to appear like fire. This whole camp, hundreds, thousands of people in the desert, and there's this one tent, this one area they're using as a tabernacle. And it's just there, just in this one place. And at nighttime, in that same spot, it appears to be like fire. But by the time this account is written down, the sheer power of the presence of God in their very midst, this constant visual reminder, is like it's not a very big deal. Because it was just like anything that they walked by every day until finally they didn't see it in the same way. When it went away, when it began to move, they just followed it. When it settled down, they stopped. It seems that they lost the magic and the power of that moment. But the truth is that it was there the whole time, always there in the middle of their journey. It was in the middle of everyday life, and so they lost sight of the power of God. God's presence with them was right there in their midst of the journey, but by the time it was written down, it reads like directions for the dog sitter. It's easy to lose sight of God moving in the middle. Even when God is very present, we lose sight of something important in the middle because there's no excitement there. Turns out when you walk past something, figuratively here I'm speaking, of course, you stop seeing it. You stop feeling it. What is really so special about all of this life that we live in the middle? First, I think that here in the middle, there are things that you can learn about yourself that you cannot learn anywhere else. It's here in the middle that you remember that you are first and foremost a child of God. You don't have the starting line, the cheering crowds, the finishing line, and the victory picture holding the medal. There are no awards. There is only day in and day out of what can feel like the same. It's here when all of that fades away that you learn who you really are. When there are no cheering fans, no awards to win, just the day to day. Most importantly, you learn that all of that doesn't define you anyway. It does not give you worth. You were created to be loved. You were created for a purpose. And though sometimes it is really difficult to remember that in the middle, God's presence has not left you, though it might become so common you don't see it anymore. In the middle, when you don't have the energy you had at the beginning of the journey, those fresh legs at the beginning of whatever race it is you're running, you realize that you have to rest. You have to rest here in the middle. It's here that you know that you are not perfect. It's here in the middle that you know you are not able to answer to everyone. You get clear about who you are, what you're doing, what is important. Those moments of clarity can feel really bad and limiting in the moment, but they are crucial. It's here in the moment that in the middle that you can have those, what I call snake skin kind of moments. You know, when a skin begins to outgrow its, when a snake begins to outgrow its skin, it like wriggles out of it because it just becomes too itchy. The way you see the world, maybe the way you understand God, old habits, relationships, the list could go on. Those things in your life don't seem to be a fit anymore, and you need change. You have to shed the old ways, wriggle out of it, leave it behind. You're learning who you are in the middle. Secondly, it's here in the middle that you learn about where you're going that you can't learn anywhere else. Your vision just gets clearer about where you're headed in life. These aren't usually an lightning bolt, burning bush kind of moments, but these are moments that happen in conversations, in yeses, in small aha kinds of moments. When those moments when you realize how much you've changed in this middle place of yours. The truth is that you will fail. You will fall. There's too much space here in the middle not to do so. You will be like Peter, sinking into the water when he walked out of the boat. First, you're walking along, just feeling confident, looking at your God, following, answering his call, and feeling the firmness, or maybe not so much the firmness of the water underneath you. But it doesn't take long for the wind and the waves to become so strong. The demands of other people, the pressures to achieve to be something more or something less, can feel like they're screaming, and you focus on them and you fall. But in those moments of symbolic face plants, it becomes not about the destination, but about the huge vast of life that you're living here in the middle. The truth is that being on the ground, I fall a lot, so I spend a lot of time on the ground, sinking into the water, whatever failure looks like for you, down there, it's a whole different view. The middle gives you that too. The look from the point of failure and falling. You get a different perspective from the bottom about what the top looks like, what the finish line really is. Where are you going and how are you going to get there? Finally, in the middle, you learn things about God that you cannot learn anywhere else. It is so easy for us to keep going about our day-to-day business that we forget how God is in our midst. It probably won't be in clouds and fire, but God is still speaking to you, still at work in you, in circumstances and in the people around you. Relationship with God is formed in the middle. It's just like friendships or dating relationships. The good stuff happens. The trust, the love, the bond is formed in the middle, in the non-exciting stuff. You have to pay attention because God may be at work in a different way, or you may have to have eyes to see God at work in these same old ways. Pay attention in the middle. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, says of Moses, all of his experiences of discerning and doing the will of God had brought him to the place where he knew, down to the bottom of his being, that the will of God was the best thing that could happen to him under any circumstances. And this is what I have come to see most clearly in the life of Moses. For Moses, the presence of God was the promised land. Next to that, everything else had already paled in significance. By this time, Moses and God were like an old married couple who'd loved and fought for so long that they had reached a deep level of understanding. They had been through so much together that now it was enough to sit and rock on the front porch of life, each one content just to know that the other is there. That was all it took to make life good. I think that this is the point of the middle, all that it holds. It's to get us to a deeper relationship with God. The learning about ourselves in the middle, the learning about the destination, even learning about God, it's all about shaping us for a different relationship with God. The kind of relationship like two old people sitting in each other's presence, because that's just enough. What happens here in this sphere, this worldly sphere, isn't just about what happens here. Difficulties in relationships need to be addressed. Sometimes jobs need to be left. Sometimes friendships need to be ended. But when we have eyes that are looking for the ways that God is at work in everything, we gain a new perspective about what's happening down here on earth, in the midst of us, while we gain new perspective on ourselves, our destination, and about God. Why are you in your middle? I do not believe that God is the grand puppet master. I don't believe that we can just put cliches on all the awful things that happen in life. When you find yourself tired, frustrated, angry, hurt, ask yourself, though, what can God teach me in this moment that God cannot teach me anywhere else? Is there room here to learn something about yourself? Is there space here to learn something about where you're going in life? Is there space here to learn about God? Ted Loader wrote this great book of prayer poems called Guerrillas of Grace. And I want to read one in kind of our closing. Oh God, gather me to be with you as you are with me. Keep me in touch with myself, with my needs, my anxieties, my angers, my pains, my corruptions, that I may claim them as my own rather than blame them on someone else. Oh Lord, deepen my wounds into wisdom. Shape my weaknesses into compassion. Gentle my envy into enjoyment. My fear into trust. My guilt into honesty. Oh God, gather me to be with you as you are with me. This morning, know that whatever middle you find yourself in, God is there as well. There is something in the middle, and only in the middle, that you can learn about yourself, where you're really going, and about God. May you have eyes to see the way that God is present and at work. May you have a heart that is open, and may you have the courage to take even just the next step forward for now. Let's pray. God, so much of our life is lived in the middle of things, is lived in the unexciting times. It's lived in the day-to-day. Too many times we make our faith about the big moments, what we call the mountaintop moments, the things where we really feel something inside. But Lord, help us to be aware of your steady presence in our life, what you are using these middle spaces to teach us about ourselves, about our destinations, about you. Help us to become so comfortable with you in the day-to-day. We're just like an old married couple, that it's just enough to be in your presence.